You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
A while ago, I was going through John Lewis with my wife. We were doing some shopping, and so it was quite a while ago. But I remember being in the area where it is like where all the TVs are. And so I haven't had a TV since I've been saved. And so I've never had a TV in over 22 years. And so I don't want one. I'm not interested in that, allowing that garbage to come in my house or to infect my family. But that's a whole nother sermon. Look at someone say that's a different sermon. Amen. And so I just want to, but one of the TV, so you got to remember, I'm not used to that. So I go past these flat screen TVs. Now, I must admit, I do like a bit of technology though. So I'm just, just looking at these things. And one of them was like high definition. How many know about this high definition stuff? So I was looking at this, and this thing is bursting out of me. This thing is like, I'm like, this is no joke. So I'm looking at it. I'm getting drawn into what's going on. They've got like, they're showing some movie trailer with superheroes blasting things, and this is high definition. And I was like, my days, this, I'll be honest, this doesn't look nice. It does, yeah. This high definition. And I was thinking about how it's clearer, and I was thinking about how you can see things clearer and it's brighter, and you know. Back in my day, I remember when, for years, growing up with my mum, we just had a black and white TV. Some of you are like, what, Pastor? No, colour was invented by then, but, we just didn't have the money, amen. And I remember having a TV, it was about this big in the front room, and it was like, it looked like a goldfish bowl. It was that round. It was reflected light like that. It was nuts. This thing was nuts. And you had an aerial, you'd have to put on the top of it. Like literally an aerial. And if the aerial broke, you'd have to get a coat hanger. How many know that? Yeah. Now I know I'm in the go. Coat hanger, man. You'd be twisting that thing and you'd have it just so you know the right place, innit? It'd be that awkward place. Yeah, that's it. Stay there. Gotta stay here. That's where the broker would be right. But anyway, so things have moved on. Now this is crisp. And I was thinking, this is how the church should be. The church should be a high definition ambassador for God. That when people see us, they see God clear. When people see us, they see Christ clear. When people see the church, they should see that Christ is clear. They understand what Jesus is about. But the problem sometimes is that the church can become pixelated. How many know what pixelated is? Where you can't quite make it out. It's not clear at all. It's this hazy, blocky type of thing. And if it's really bad, you can't even understand what's going on. And so we want to talk about the reason. And we looked at it on Sunday, restoring all things. But let me just use this scripture to launch into these other scriptures. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. If you've got it, say amen. And so you can see it on the screen. Wonderful. Okay. So then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write the vision and make it plain. Wasn't enough just to have a vision. The vision had to be plain, had to be clear, had to be seen. So those that are about to run, those that are going to do something, will fully understand what this thing is. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your anointing. I pray, Father, that you would communicate deep truths to us. Father, that it would go deep into our soul, deep into our spirit. Father, it would form and mold our character. Come against, Lord God, every lie of the enemy, every distraction that the enemy would seek to bring. Father, be glorified in this place. And all God's people said, amen. On Sunday, I spoke about there is one human story, and that story is to restore all of humanity. God, that's the one story of the whole Bible That's the one story of all of humanity. It's the one mission. And so from Adam, we're going to start with Adam. Genesis 3:15. This is just after Adam and Eve have sinned. God says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is Jesus speaking to the serpent straight after they've sinned. God is speaking to the serpent, and he says, the woman is going to have a seed, and that is an offspring, a child, and that child is going to conquer the plan of sin and Satan. So as soon as man had sinned, God says, there's a rescue mission coming. Think about this. This is how redemptive our God is. As soon as they sinned, God, if that was me, I would be like, listen, you messed this up. You messed this whole thing up. And so, yeah, you're just going to have to worry about whatever. But God straight away says, yeah, you've messed up, but I've got a plan to bring you back. Genesis 12, verse 3. So God speaking to Abraham. Now, I want to tell you now, you need to home in on what God says to Abraham, because otherwise, you may be confused about many things. People will come to you. Many religions, they stem from Abraham. Jewish religion comes from Abraham. They've twisted it. We understand that. The Muslim religion claim that they come from Abraham. We have other people now that are twisting it. Black Israelite, white Israelite, purple Israelite. Talking about this thing. Now, you got to. This is why I'm saying, take notes. Learn about this stuff. Don't just come to church and not know your Bible. You must know your Bible. Don't be. You can quote Pastor Courtney. You can quote Pastor Peter. You can quote Hillsong, Elevation. You need to quote Bible. You need to quote Bible. And so Genesis 12 verse 3. This is what God says to Abraham: "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you." Home in on this now. "And in you," speaking of Abraham, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families, that means all of the nations that are ever on the earth will be blessed through the offspring of Abraham. So Abraham has Isaac, Isaac has Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. So Israel produces obviously 12 tribes. Out of the 12 tribes, the preeminent one was Judah. Judah becomes the Jews. And so out of Abraham, the Jews were supposed to be a blessing to all of the nations of the world. From the beginning of time, God wanted all nations to know him. Understand this. All nations. God never just wanted one nation. He says, through your family, Abraham, through your children, the Jews, I'm going to bless all of the nations. The Africans, the Caribbeans, the Spanish, the Chinese, all families, all will be blessed. And we know that's fulfilled in Christ. Again, what we see is God promising Abraham, I've got a redemptive plan in process, and I'm going to use you to fulfill it. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. "I will raise up from them a prophet like you." This is God speaking to Moses. "From among their brethren." You've got to understand that. "From among their brethren." That means from the family of the Jews. It has to be a Jew for be the brethren. "And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I've commanded you." God says to Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet, and that prophet is going to come from the Jews. This is why the Messiah had to be a Jew. This is why people tell you, oh, you know, such and such is a prophet. This person is a prophet. Are they a Jew? No. Well, then they can't be the prophesized one. Because here, he says, his brethren must come from that. And that's used, that's always used from this point on in the Bible, before this point, for the Jews. Or should I say, not for the Jews, for the Israelites. And so here we see God still has his redemptive plan, and it's flowing through. Let's move a little bit quicker. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16. "And your house and your kingdom shall be everlasting..." Sorry, "be established forever," forever, yeah, "before you. Your throne shall be established forever." This is God speaking to King David. How did King David's throne last forever? Because from the lineage of David comes Jesus. Thank you. And Jesus is an eternal king. This is why when you read in Matthew and people are like, why have we got all these genealogies in there? Why have it this guy, this guy, we get this guy, this guy, we get this guy? Because we had to understand that Jesus was from the house of David. That Jesus was, so that we're linking up the prophecies, the promises of God. But remember, all of these prophecies, I keep telling us, God says, I'm coming for you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to restore you. This is his one story he keeps reminding people. And if you know your Bible and you really want to understand prophetic words about Christ, Isaiah is the one. Isaiah is the one. And Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This child will be called Mighty God. People say, oh, how come Jesus be God, and Jesus be God, be Jesus? Here, a child is born, and he will be called Mighty God. This is Old Testament. Everlasting Father. The child will be called Everlasting Father, because Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son, and God the Father are one. This is why this comes about. The Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David. Again, it's connected with the last prophecy I spoke about. And over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see in the prophets. So we looked at Adam. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Moses. We looked at David. We've got to the prophets. Constantly, 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 this one theme: I'm coming to restore mankind. That's all God wants to do. That's all he wants to do, church. He wants mankind back. This is the one mission. I said that the Jews missed it because the Jews had a small mind. The Jews thought, oh no, God's going to restore us. If you read in the scriptures, even the disciples got it a little bit twisted because they say to Jesus, when will you restore the kingdom? Remember they said that? Because they're still thinking that Jesus is going to come and be like David and just rally up the Jews. And God's like, listen, my plan is bigger than that now. My plan was bigger than that. And the Jews missed Jesus because they themselves, they had become pixelated. See, this is the danger for the church, that we become pixelated. Do we have that image? The first image that we can show them there. So how many can see this image? It's a pixelated image. How many of you would guess you know that what that is? Some of you. Some. What was it? Some art connoisseurs in his house. And so Mona Lisa. But how many know the reason why we can identify it? Because we knew we've seen the picture before. If we'd never seen the picture before, we'd be struggling. Let's see the picture. And so this is the real picture. And then we saw the pixelated picture. The problem many times is the Jews, God chose the Jews to represent him to all the nations. That's what God chose them for, to represent. And God has chosen us as the church now to represent him to the world. And the problem is that if we become pixelated, God is no longer clear to the world. It is the world that's going to suffer, because people cannot look at our lives and see, you know what, this is the way to Jesus. They cannot see. They see a pixelated Jesus. They see a pixelated Christianity. They see something about, yeah, there's something there, but it's not clear. It's not clear to them. And the other problem is that people won't come to the full knowledge of Jesus. The other problem you'll see is new believers will take a long time to mature. New believers, they'll come to the church, but you'll realize they're going to take a long time to mature because they have to stare at us for a long time to figure out what's going on. I want to be someone who's HD. I want to be clear that someone can just see me and be like, hey, yeah, I see what's going on. I see Jesus. Yeah, I understand what this is what it means to be a Christian. Okay, let me get with the program. Rather than they cannot grow to maturity when they see me. I was thinking about this, what makes things pixelated. Sometimes what makes things pixelated is a bad copy. If you've ever had a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy, how many have ever seen that? And so That can be a problem. Photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. I need some volunteers. I need 5 volunteers. Put your hand up if you want to volunteer. Okay, thank you. I've got one guy here, Caleb. Okay, come. Yeah. Who else wants to come? Yeah, Carl. See, the leaders. Yeah, amen. Ulu, yeah. I need a few more. You can stand there. Press it. So let's come over here. You stand over here. I still need one more. Okay, we're going to get 2. Amen. Come, keep coming. But Kavari coming down. Yeah, you set the pace. Yeah, come here. We got the real man. Okay. And so, don't worry, you can come, Patrick, man. We don't leave you out. Give it up for Patrick. Batos! We've got to have the professor, just in case we have some deep questions. Stand at the end there. Amen. So this is how it will work. So this will be Adam. We're going to say this is Adam. And then we're going to say that this will be Seth, you know, Adam's son, after he had Cain and Abel. And so we're going to say this is Abraham. And then we're going to say this is Moses. This can be David. This can be the prophets. And so what happens is this, is that Adam knew God. I'm going to be God. That's just the way it is. And so Adam knew God. And so Adam has an original with him. So Adam just has to copy what I tell him to do. Just hang with me and do what I do. But Adam sinned. Adam sinned. And so now he becomes a defect. Sorry about that, Adam. And so with Adam's sin, now with Seth now, Seth becomes a copy of him, not a copy of me. It's getting worse now. And so this keeps going until there's problems. You start to read about this guy called Lamech. And then what happens is the flood has to come. God's like, this place has gone nuts because they're a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. It gets crazy. So God says, wipe it out and then I'm going to start again. And so God starts again and then God visits a guy called Abraham. And God reveals himself to Abraham. And so Abraham actually becomes, okay, I know what to do to God. And the Bible says, this is what Abraham must do. God says, you must teach your children about me. You must teach your children about me. But the problem is, because of mankind's sin and all of that, we see that there is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And it starts to become a bit of a craziness that you see Leah and Rachel and sleeping and this and that. And it's all politics. And then God has to visit Moses. God says, Moses, this is what I am. This is what I'm about. Come up on the mountain and receive the 10 commandments. These are the originals. This is what I need you to do. And Moses keeps telling the people, stick to the original. The book of Deuteronomy means the second law or the two books. Because Moses is going to go, Deuteronomy, and he preaches the whole sermon to re-preach what he's preached in the other books. That's what the purpose is. So now, the children of Israel, they go crazy. They're wayward. So then God has David. And then God has to keep coming and reminding the prophets. Now, this is the problem with the children of Israel. The children of Israel wouldn't actually keep the original. And what they would do is this. Now, I'm not going to be God anymore. I'm going to be an Ammonite or some Canaanite or some otherite. And the children of Israel, what they would do is, God told them what to do. And they would start to say, we want to do what they're doing. We want to start copying them. And if you read the whole of the Old Testament, this was the problem. They kept copying everyone that was around them. So there is the dilemma. God wants us to copy him, but we keep copying copies. God wants us to copy him, but we're copying cosmopolitan, which is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. This is Adam. This is thousands of years. This is the guy who made Cosmopolitan. This is the copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. So you want to copy Cosmopolitan, sister, or bro, you want to copy GQ, or you want to copy the brother on the road. This is a defected copy of what God meant humans to be. Then if you copy him, you can't go out into the world and represent God. Because you're no different than them. Give them a round of applause. Appreciate that, guys. This is what the Bible says, that we should be copying Christ. So someone vexes you, who do I copy? I'm going to copy Christ. I'm going to forgive you. There's a need I should give? No, I should think of myself. Now, who am I going to copy? Let me copy Christ. And so we represent Christ. We become unpixelated to the world. Jesus says take my yoke upon you, mean join with me in my labor. Learn of me. Learn of me. Tell someone to learn of Jesus. Are you studying Jesus to learn of him? One time a guy took me to play golf. I went to play golf on the driving range. Golf is a difficult game. I thought I'd just go there and whack this thing. I was swinging it and I had to study the guy. Show me what you're doing. How are you doing this? He just like, and it would go far, right where he wanted it to. And then I'd go, it hasn't moved. And so I had to study him. Watch what, show me how he did it. And I think before we left, after an hour, I just tapped it. But I had to study him. Be careful. Watch what he's doing. Watch him from this angle. Watch him from that angle. This is what we must do, Christian. We must be studying Christ. We must be constantly looking at Christ so that we may, Jesus told us, learn of me. And then he tells us a little bit about him. He says, I am gentle. Ooh, I'm convicted already. I'm lowly in heart. That means I'm humble. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the other reasons why we are pixelated is that there's not a pure connection. Have someone ever sent you like a link of something? You try to watch it and it's all pixelated. And then you've got to put on your Wi-Fi and then it's crisp. There was a problem with the connection, man. And many times, the reason why we're so pixelated is there's a poor connection. There's a poor connection for our Bible. There's a poor Bible reading. There's poor prayer. Poor fellowship with God's people. But Jesus came into a religious arena and he had the cure for this. The Jews were pixelated. They missed Jesus, but Jesus has a cure. And the cure was a very simple thing. The cure is discipleship. That's what the cure is. I know some of you, what? Discipleship? No, it's got to be deeper than that. No. Jesus comes and he says, you know what? Discipleship. I'm going to replicate myself in discipleship. See, how many of you here are disciples? You're a disciple of Jesus. If we ask people, are you a Christian? People could easily put up their hand. Are you a disciple? Well, the two are the same thing. They should be. See, we need to become a HD DMD. HD DMD. Some of you are looking and you got that strange look like, what's Pastor starting now? A high definition, you got that part? Disciple making disciple. A high definition, disciple making disciple. That you are a disciple that's making disciples. If anything else that we're doing and we're saying God told us to do that, if it's not producing this, then where did you get that God told you that? Because in my Bible, God's got one story. God's got one story. Is God telling you to do this? To be this? It's what he's telling me all the time. Courtney, I want you to be a high definition disciple making disciple. A high definitional disciple making disciples understands there is one mission and one story. And that one mission, that one story is restoration. Let me read Revelations 21, verse 1. And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned with for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I mean, that's going to be a glorious time. That's beautiful. I love that scripture. Revelations 22, verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. All the way, this started in Genesis. God creates man in Genesis, and man loses what God gave him in Genesis. All the way to Revelation, this is one story of God is how he's going to restore mankind. In Revelation, I read this scripture. It says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to restore the earth and he's going to restore heaven. The Bible says there's going to be a new Jerusalem. He actually says there's actually going to be another tree of life. The picture that we have is that God is making a new Eden. God is basically restoring everything the way it was. And so the whole story of the Bible started in Genesis. God created us. We sinned. Sin hijacked us. And then we have this story of all these promises that God's going to come. Jesus comes. We have the church age. And at the end, God says, now it's time. I'm going to judge the world and restore everything back. That is it. That's the whole of the Bible summed up. Praise God, Pastor. I don't need to read it. No, you still need to read it. But that's really it. That's the whole summing up of the Bible. That's the one thing. Is that your driving force, Christian? Is that your driving force? The restoration of all things. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by the here and the now. How many know we can? How many know life can be mundane? Even as a Christian, come on, let's keep it real. Life can be mundane. And we can forget why we're doing what we're doing. And sometimes when you forget why you're doing what you're doing, you don't want to do it no more. But let me encourage you, Christian. This is why we do what we do. For this, that at the end, we will be restored with all of the creation that God wants to give us. As a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to understand something. Let me close with this. This is where we're going to close. But you're going to have to understand this. And this is a funny phrase, but bear with me. You're going to have to understand that the already, but not yet. The already, but not yet. Say that with me. Already, but not yet. One more time. Already, but not yet. What I mean by that is that God has, as a Christian, God has already started to restore you. You. God has already started it. He's not restoring heaven yet. He's not restoring earth yet. He's not making a new Eden yet. You can search this planet. You will not find it. But the one thing that God has started, when you got saved and you asked Jesus into your life, a miracle happened. Something dynamic happened. Something amazing happened. Not to the outside. And the outside, you look the same. But on the inside, a transaction happened and God started to restore you. He started to restore what sin had robbed from you. He's restoring you back to this marvelous creation, to the original. He's restoring you back to the last Adam, Christ, to the original, so that you are no longer living like a copy of a copy of a copy, but now you have the original. And God is restoring you. But how many know he hasn't finished yet? And so it's already started, but how many know it's not finished yet? And this is why, this is where the rubber meets the road. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, look what it says here. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. How many know the outward man is perishing? Some of you started to feel that already. Yet the inward man is being renewed, or we could say restored, day by day. God is restoring. Then he says, for this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What this means is I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not yet what I should be. This is why sometimes the devil's going to come in and he's going to try and condemn you. You're not this, you're not that, you're not this, you're not that. I know, I'm already, but I'm not yet. I'm already, I've already been saved. I'm already being renewed, but I'm not there yet. And so don't allow the devil to condemn you. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to condemn you and say, oh, you're not perfect yet. You're not here there yet. You're not this. Yes, that's right. Because I'm already, God has started the work in me. But it hasn't completed yet. And so this is why I'm pushing forward. This is why, Christian, keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. Keep pursuing the things of God. You may have obstacles. You may fall down. You may get diverted for a season. Get back up, dust yourself off, and keep pushing forward, because it's the already, but the not yet. He says the inward man is being renewed, but the outward man is perishing. This is why, Christian, we don't feel fully at home anymore here. This is why some of you are in a bit of a turmoil right now about life. And you're like, listen, when I was a sinner, it was simple. You ever thought that? Okay, maybe no one else put their hand up. Okay, I feel really carnal right now. You're like, no, we've never thought that, Pastor. We dream about Jeremiah and Hezekiah. How many have ever thought, like, wow, life is complex now. Now I feel torn between two. I feel good. I feel bad. I want to do right. I want to do wrong. I want to love people. And then I want to slap people. I want to do all of these things. I want to go for God, but then I want things. And so, because this world is not our home anymore. We don't fit in anymore. Because we are high definition people living in a pixelated world. And we don't fit in anymore. Have you got that image, please? Some of you might know what this is. In 1982, I went to America. My mum put me on the plane. I was 8. My mum put me on the plane by myself. And she put me on a TWA flight. Some of you don't even know what that airline is. TWA, Transworld Airlines. And so she put me on that flight, and she sent me to America by myself. And I got off the plane, the stewardess took me off at New York. And so she was like, the Tanai, could Mr. Lowe come for, you know, and then my dad picked me up. And I went to America. I stayed there for the 6 weeks holidays. And when I went to America, my dad got me this. It was an Atari game. It was called an Atari game. And this game was actually called tennis. Some of you are like, what is that? How can that be tennis? And so you see those little lines at the end, they go up and down, and I don't know where it is. There was supposed to be like a dot that would go backward and forward. You'd have two joysticks, and you'd just go up and down trying to get this dot backward and forward over that line, which would be the net. Some of you are like, what is that? That was high technology. That was like high technology. When I remember seeing that, I'd be like, wow, I was in awe. Move forward maybe a decade, and we have the next. This would have been the 1980s version of FIFA. It wasn't called FIFA, it's called like Super Soccer. And this was like graphics. Oh my day. This is like, I'm immersed in this. Ah, oh, I can't believe this. This is color. Look at the graphics. Look at that. And the book, book. Now think about this now. The world we live in is pixelated. This world that we're living in is pixelated. You have been restored. You have been restored. You are in the process of being restored. You are becoming something which is high definition of God. This is the big, I know we're just gathered in this little hall, and we're just a little church, and we're on the corner of somewhere, and you can get, you know, and there's nothing special about me, and maybe there's nothing special about you, and you think, oh, we're just here. No. Don't look on the outside. The Bible says in the text, we do not focus on the things which are seen, but we focus on the things which are unseen. And what's unseen is I am a high definition version of Christ being transformed. Pastor, why don't I fit in this world? Let me get the next slide. This is the new FIFA. Look at this. This is like a photo. That's like a photo. Now think what I'm saying. You can't put this into the thing before. It won't fit. The processing power, the graphic card would disintegrate. The computer that built the first thing would explode if you just tried to put in one little pixel or part of this. This is what you are. Let's go back. This is what the world is. This is your old life. This is your old life. You can't put your new life in your old life. Your old life don't fit in your new life. This is the world. Listen, I'm saying this as a restored being. Why are you searching for unrestored things to give you restoration? The things of this world, the music of this world, the entertainment of this world, the activities of this world, the fashions of this world, the lust of this world, the pride of this world, the materialism of this world. I'm not saying it's all evil, but it cannot give you what you need because you are a restored being and all of those other things have not been restored yet. And this is why you're in torment, and this is why you're frustrated, and this is why we're, oh, what's happening, what's going on? Can I tell you, this world is not my home anymore. I don't fit in anymore. I go to the job, I don't fit in perfectly with these people. I go to the family event, I don't fit in perfectly anymore. What do I do now? Well, God has given you a mission, and that mission is you as a high definition version of him going to this pixelated world and start to interact with others and restore them to higher definition. That's what the job now. That's the mission. There's one mission. There's only one mission. There's only one mission that you go everywhere you go. You might be a mother in this place and you're like, what do I do? No problem. When you go to the supermarket, and you see the checkout, and then she don't look too good. You say, you know what? Let me just give you a flyer. Jesus loves you. She's rushed. It's Christmas time. People are like, huffing, but it's trolley. Listen. Sorry, I kept you. Hey, listen, you don't have to apologize to me. Let me give you one of these. It's hoping Jesus. God bless you, man. You're doing an excellent job. Because you now are high definition. You're trying to bring some restoration. You can go anywhere. We can send you anywhere. We can send you into any, you're in the university, you're in the college, you're in the secular working business, whatever. You can go there and you can bring what God has done with you to there. And you'll start to see God start to restore. And this is the miracle. This is why we can send out churches. Because we send out our guys and our ladies and they go, the couples, they go out. And they go to an area and they start to preach and to pray and to live for Jesus. And what happens is their area starts to become restored. And things start to happen there. And we can send couples to nations. And nations can be restored. Listen, you may have problems in your marriage right now. Don't get huffy and puffy. Listen, go and restore. Say, I'm going to restore this. You may be in beef with parents right now. Go and be restored. God has reconciled you and given you the ministry of reconciliation. We could say God has restored you and given you the ministry to restore others. He says, we do not look at the things which are seen. The pixelated things, the unrestored things can't give us. They cannot give us what we need. We're going about restoring things. What do I look at? Look at high definition things. Fill your life with high definition things. The Bible is a high definition book. The Bible, you cannot get anything more high def than the Bible. You cannot get anything more high def. You may have the latest iPhone. You may have the latest laptop. You may have the latest technology, but the most up-to-date thing on your desk would be your Bible. It's the most current thing because it's ahead of us. It's ahead. Wherever we get to, the Bible says, I was here already. I was already here. Prayer is a high definition action. in prayer is where we focus on God. We pour out to God. Worship. We had a wonderful time on Monday. Wonderful session of worship. Really feel that what God is doing in our church is amazing. But let me say this now. Get involved in that. But not just here, at home. Be a worshiper at home. Listen to your own music and worship God, because that's a high definition action. Speak about Jesus with each other and with the lost. Speak about Jesus with one another. We should be constantly talking about Jesus, encouraging one another. Constantly. More than anything. Because everything else we're chatting about is unregenerated, unrestored stuff. And it can't give us anything. Yeah, we understand we've got to get by. We've got to live life. I'm not saying, you know, do you want a cup of tea? Jesus is coming. That's all I know. No. You're going way too far. Way too far. But what we're talking about is the core being. Every time these doors are open for church, you should be here. Is that a law, Pastor? No, it's not a law. It's for you. It's for you to come and say, you know what? Let me come and participate in at least some sort of high-definition activity while I go back into this pixelated world, constantly feeling the burden of trying to restore everything. This is the one mission, that we would become DMDs. How many are willing to be one? Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.